Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 25. Well, as Jeremiah 24 was short, Jeremiah 25 is a bit longer. Not just longer than 24, but longer generally. Longer chapter. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon, that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the winecup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and an astonishment and hissing and a curse as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Azza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tamar, Booz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwelt in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds, and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor, and because of his fierce anger. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, for those theologians and Bible interpreters that hold to a literal interpretation of prophecy, this is a very difficult passage. Literally speaking, did Jeremiah travel the globe in order to give to them the cup of the wine of the Lord's indignation? Well, obviously not. This is a symbol. It is set forth as a symbol for us here in the middle portion of that chapter. Why would the Lord punish the nations? It's a very interesting passage in that the Lord begins, first of all, in chapter 25 with what I call the indictment. The indictment. What is the indictment here? The indictment is that the Lord has been faithful. Jeremiah speaks of his own ministry these last 23 years, he says. For 23 years, I have preached the word of the Lord to you. That's a long time. Especially with the kind of support that Jeremiah was getting. And we use that term support in quotations. And yet, Jeremiah has continued faithful these 23 years. Not only Jeremiah, but other contemporary prophets with him. Zephaniah, for instance, is contemporary to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah also speaks of other prophets that were also preaching in that time. And he says that not only have we preached, but we have had one message. One message. So first of all, we have the Lord has been faithful. The consistency of the message, turn from evil, go not after other gods, dwell in the land, and enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Very simple message, the unified voice of these prophets. And what's interesting is that, and Matthew Henry draws this out in his commentary on Jeremiah 25, he says, the Lord knows what we do with the means of grace. The Lord knew that those men, all those 23 years, were not hearkening, that they were making light of the means of grace. They were not using the means of grace. They were rather abusing them, not taking them seriously, not taking them to heart. So for 23 years, Jeremiah preached with the other prophets. The message did not change over the course of those 23 years. It remained consistent. And for those 23 years, there was something else that was consistent. The people did not hearken. And so the indictment is that the Lord is faithful. His message has not changed. He has continued preaching. He has continued faithfully. And yet in all of that, the people have not heard. So that's the indictment. In the second section, we have the sentencing. The indictment being concluded, the sentencing comes. And that would be from verses 8 through 14. Babylon will come against this land, along with families of the north, to desolate. When men will not regard, this is another Matthew Henryism, when men will not regard the judgment of the Lord's mouth, they may expect to feel the judgment of his hands. Do you like that? I thought that was a good statement. When men will not regard the judgment of the Lord's mouth, they can expect to feel the judgment of his hands. So when they would not turn at the preaching of Jeremiah and the other prophets, the Lord sent the judgment of his hands upon them. Nebuchadnezzar, all of his princes, and all those that he brought with him when he came in from the north to desolate the land. The Lord will stir up the Babylonians as his servants for the sake of judgment, and he will judge the people of Israel for their iniquity, and then he will judge Babylon for its iniquity. The desolation will be 70 years long, and I want us to note the freedom that the Lord has here. We would say, now wait a minute, the Lord uses them to judge Israel and then he judges them? That's not right, is it? We're not allowed to ascend to that kind of level and speak to God in that way, right? In Isaiah chapter 10, didn't we see the same thing? Which begins, "Ho, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in his hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a wicked nation." And then after that, the Lord says, "Then, when I have performed all of my fury upon Israel, I will punish the stout heart of the king of Assyria." Same thing. So we note the freeness of the Lord to do justly. That the Lord can, as we used to say, draw a straight line with a crooked stick and then break the stick when he's done drawing the line. Right? So that's the second portion of the chapter. The third portion, then, is the judgment of the nations. And it's very interesting why these nations are judged. The Lord says, I'm going to move against the people of my own name. Do you think I'm not going to move against you too? That's the point that the Lord is making here. If I'll move against the people that are mine when they do wickedly, well, why do you think you'll be exempt? And so this is when Jeremiah is instructed to take a cup as representative of the cup of the Lord's fury. And it starts out and you think, okay, maybe he is actually going to go visit some of those neighboring kingdoms. But it ends up in the isles and the uttermost part of the earth. And so under the force of this prophecy then, the Lord looks way beyond Babylon. And he's looking down through the kinds of things that we're talking about in the book of Revelation, when the Lord will indeed judge the entirety of the whole earth. And so this judgment that Jeremiah is talking about here has indeed a particular judgment in Israel in that day, but it is that eschatological judgment that Jeremiah has most in mind. And that eschatological judgment is part and parcel of that judgment that will come upon Israel, upon Judah, because the causes of those judgments are the same. It is all because people have thrown off the Lord as their king, as their God, worshipped other gods, refused to dwell in the land, refused to hearken to the Lord's promises, refused to dwell in His blessings, and instead sought out a place for their own. Like this prophet said earlier, they have turned from me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And so there is an identification, if you will, a straight line identification between the judgment of Judah here in 25 and then the widening of that judgment to include the ends of the earth. And it includes the ends of the earth because that eschatological judgment is done for the same reason. It's all the same reasoning. It is the refusal to call upon the Lord as God. All right, so then in the final section, this judgment under Nebuchadnezzar was larger than just Israel. All will give an account to the Lord. Cry and howl and wallow in ashes is the commanded response. Now that's interesting, isn't it? The commanded response. I don't remember where it is in Ezekiel. It's somewhere early. Ezekiel is prophesying of the judgment that should come. They're going to come from the north. They're going to waste our cities. They're going to take our wives. They're going to kill our children. Our men will die. And at the end of that, Ezekiel says, "Shall we then make mirth?" Do you remember that passage? You remember that? There is a right response to judgments. Howl and cry. Make use of afflictions in the right kind of way. Don't receive afflictions and go on blithely as nothing has happened. Don't go on partying until the electricity goes off, in other words. Right? Howl, cry, wallow in ashes. The right response to the Lord's judgments are these. There are many who endure afflictions apart from hearing them, so that they may continue in their pleasures as soon as possible and as long as possible, and do not make good use of afflictions. Also, once again, from Matthew Henry. So, chapter 25 then of Jeremiah, the indictment, the sentencing, the judgment, and then once again that, it kind of expands out and then it comes back in, Nebuchadnezzar once again and his rule over all of the land of Palestine and all the way down into Egypt. Because even Pharaoh himself will come under the hand of the Chaldeans. All right, thus ends the reading. Let's stand and continue praising God.